Danielle Zlatiky and Chief Executive Officer of Prevention Works.
Luke Kwiatkowski, and I'm the Executive Director at Urban Alliance.
I am Sarah Weissar. I'm a Strategic Advisor with Hub One, and also have a consulting business, the Impact Collective Group.
Okay, perhaps the best thing to do would be to start with you, Sarah, to sort of give an overall view of the survey that Hub One did. I gather that who did you survey and what did you hear?
Of course. So Hub One is a unique collaborative of nonprofit organizations here in Kalamazoo, representing the two organizations that Luke and Danielle lead here, Urban Alliance and Prevention Works, as well as Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kalamazoo and Big Brothers Big Sisters of Southwest Michigan. In order to better understand the impact of COVID-19 on the nonprofit community specifically, a survey was created and distributed amongst nonprofit leaders around the region across Southwest Michigan to, again, dive into how the pandemic and the economic crisis are impacting nonprofit organizations and their ability to serve the populations that they contribute to around the community. We had 103 respondents representing, again, the entire region.
Just in general, what was the message you were hearing from those who responded to the survey?
The nonprofit leaders reported a dramatic shift in the nonprofit landscape as a result of COVID-19. The implications of the pandemic have been very significant, adding significant pressure to nonprofit leaders, not only to lead their own organizations through a time transitioning to virtual platforms for their own staff, but also to create new platforms to continue to serve their constituents. All of this in the midst of a significant financial crisis has been an overwhelming amount of pressure, on nonprofit organizations, and has really added a lot of stress to their ability to be able to continue to serve at the level that they are leaned upon in our community to do.
You know, are we talking about, you know, existential threats here on the financial side?
Yes. There's been a dramatic shift. Again, 96% of the organizations who before the pandemic had anticipated meeting their budgeted needs for the year, that same percentage is now unsure that they will be able to meet their budgeted revenue goals. So the financial devastation is enormous and continues to be uncertain as we continue throughout the year.
Okay, Danielle, let me start with you there at Prevention Works. Can you talk a little bit about how everything that's happened because of the pandemic has affected your organization?
Yeah, I am at Prevention Works. We provided in-person health education programming for youth and families to particularly to marginalized populations that are court-ordered or in jeopardy of losing custody of their children. Or court ordered, the family has been split apart due to abuse, domestic violence, or substance use. And when COVID-19 shut everything down, per se, we had to go remote as staff, and we had to shut down all of our in-person programming. So just to kind of give you a snapshot between March, mid-March of 2020 through June 30, 2020, we have canceled 16 cycles of 16 different programs, 32 cycles of programs that reach over 1,900 individuals. And as I said, a lot of those individuals come from just impacted families. They need to go through the court system to get back together with their family, as well as at-risk youth. So that's just a four-month snapshot of the programming canceled. Now, all of that said, we did pivot and move to virtual type programming, but again, with issues that certain populations experience with connectivity, having phones or laptops or tablets that are able to connect to Wi-Fi, it makes it even more difficult to reach populations with services.
And how has it affected your bottom line, your finances?
Some grants are coming in at lesser amounts, and a lot of funders, thankfully, due to great conversations and relationships, there are funders in town, foundations that are releasing restrictions on grants. So nonprofits are able to use them in the areas that they need to use them, such as salaries or rent or mortgage payments. But not all funders do that. So it's part of the survey. As you can see, there was a question in there about organizations talking to funders, and 43% of organizations surveyed had not reached out to their funders, and 10% did not feel comfortable doing so. So I think as a whole, Hub One is concerned about the sector and the ability for funders to continue funding the way they were, even more in the future.
Other than what you've already talked about, Danielle, are there other challenges that the pandemic is presenting your organization Prevention Works with?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest ones, and I think it was also highlighted in the survey, that we've all had to go into remote. So everybody's working from home. And I think in the nonprofit sector in particular, we function in more of a scarcity mindset. And so we're often running with minimal IT. Not everybody has a laptop. People don't have a VPN system to connect in remote. And so I think for a lot of nonprofits, this put them in a situation where they weren't equipped to be able to communicate virtually together as a team. And I think you saw many nonprofits scrambling to do so or to get up and running immediately when COVID-19 shut us down.
Do you think that the pandemic, once it's over, whenever that is, will have any lasting or permanent effects on how Prevention Works, you know, does its work?
Yeah, I think so. On a positive side, we were able to pivot and do virtual programming. And I think that's something that we're talking about as a team in the future as an option. However, when you're educating young people and marginalized populations and youth and family who are at risk, it's much more effective in person. But it will definitely be an option in the future so that we're able to reach more people. Also, I think we're all starting to see that we may not all need to be in a building working together, that if we have a little bit more flexible schedule or remote workforce, that's doable. I think we're all learning that's a doable situation now.
Pretty much the same questions for you, Luke. How has the pandemic affected the Urban Alliance?
The pandemic, COVID-19, has, I would say, dramatically impacted us. One of our biggest programs was the Momentum Program, which helped individuals with multiple barriers to employment, get the services they need, but also help them to reengage with the workforce and take care of their families. We had to end two cycles of that early, and we've had to cancel four cycles of that program. So there's significant impact in that regard as far as meeting those expressed needs. And additionally, a big piece of what we do is neighborhood connections and outreach within the communities. And we had to basically completely shut that down for the last, since whenever we started this, how many months has it been? So it's completely reshaped how we operate as an organization. And I would say I'd echo what Danielle said. We have pivoted a lot and adjusted and are doing what we can virtually and connecting in whatever way we can. But we're running into similar struggles when it comes to access to technology, access to the internet and information that's severely hampering our ability to connect. As an example, somebody that we were trying to connect with that had been through our program that was eligible and receiving ongoing support in their household. They had a mother and two children, and they had a single old smartphone, and that was their only way to connect to the internet. And so the kids were trying to use that phone to connect to school type services. The mom was trying to use it to connect to services that they wanted to. And so it's really, we've spent as much time delivering virtual programming as we have helped troubleshoot and support families as they learn how to access the information and the services that would meet their needs.
And for those who aren't familiar with the Urban Alliance, what is your overall mission?
Our overall mission is to communicate through our actions that we value every individual. We're focused on supporting the most marginalized members in our community, both by connecting them to resources, but also programming that helps them remove barriers and get ahead in life. So we do job training, we do technical training, and we do a lot of connection to resources, supports for individuals entering and exiting both the criminal justice system and sobriety or substance abuse situations.
And how has the pandemic affected your ability to, you know, get the money you need to provide these services?
I would echo what Danielle said, that thankfully we have a lot of funders in town that are changing how our grants can be used. We have the benefit of being funded at a fairly decent level, and so we were secure in the short term. But what we're seeing as we've tried to adjust and to raise money for future efforts, that there is a lot of need out there and a lot of nonprofits putting messages out there, rightly so, that they need support and they need help. I mean, as Sarah highlighted in the survey, you know, there's a lot of financial uncertainty. And so short term, we're able to meet the needs. Long term, there's serious question marks about the ability to continue to operate at the level that we have been.
And how do you think the pandemic might leave a lasting effect on the Urban Alliance in terms of how it operates?
I would echo again what Danielle said, that it's going to be a little bit of both and. We work with similar populations, and in-person, face-to-face is the most effective. That being said, we are developing robust virtual programming that we will continue to operate, because there's increased accessibility and increased reach for that. Additionally, we're evaluating which positions within our organization need to be in the office all the time and which can do more remote work. So it's going to change how we operate on a lot of different levels long term for the better, I think. You know, I think the nonprofit sector has, because of scarcity or lack of resources, has been slow to adapt to some of the new ways of operating. And COVID-19 has been a great invitation, so to speak, for us to adapt and to push forward and to go into territory that we previously hadn't been in.
A lot of nonprofit groups that you surveyed, I assume, are amongst those that use event-based fundraising. In other words, they hold an event that attracts people and they pay money, and that helps the organization keep going. You know, almost none of that has been possible under the conditions of the pandemic. So what have you been hearing from the people you surveyed, the organizations you surveyed, about, you know, their ability to raise the money they need?
Andy, that's a great question. So of the respondents that we heard back from, 60% had already canceled fundraising activities, and 45% had already lost revenue from fee-for-service programming. In addition to that, 55% said they had less than 12 months of adequate funding to sustain their staff and mission. We find that both the financial devastation paired with the interruption in the forced elimination of services really validates the Hub One model of collaboration and calls our community to come together like never before to face the uncertainty of the financial situation as well as the gap in services that has been caused by COVID-19.
And when you say the collaborative model, you know, whether it's through Hub One or something else, what exactly are you talking about?
Hub One is a very unique collaboration looking to maximize the resources available to these nonprofits to come together and to work together to serve populations, to reduce and eliminate intergenerational poverty. However, we believe that more models of collaboration are necessary, and really looking at the nonprofit sector in an innovative way is critical for our community now more than ever.
I guess what I was asking is, you know, collaboration. I mean, you know, you have a joint fundraising staff or something to streamline and make it more efficient, or is it something else?
Hub One does utilize and is building a shared infrastructure of services such as human resources and legal resources and those types of services. We really believe that building community amongst nonprofits to figure out what works best for them is really important for Hub One. What that has looked like is creating a shared back office infrastructure to support all of the organizations and to maximize what each one of them is able to accomplish.
Do you think Hub One will be getting some more participants beyond those that are already involved?
At this time, Hub One is a partnership between the four organizations that are part of it currently. But we look to connect with other nonprofits around town to share the learnings of the model that has been built and is and continues to be built through Hub One, and to work with the community to figure out how we can all partner, especially with the virtual programming platforms that are built to serve our constituents in the most powerful way.
Is there anything that we haven't covered yet that any of you would like to add?
Yeah, this is Luke. I think, you know, what we're seeing and what we are noticing both that collaborations like this are incredibly difficult, but times like this show why it's so necessary. Going through COVID-19 with the partnerships and the collaborations that we have through Hub One has made it, I think, exponentially easier for us to manage, both in terms of resources and conversations, moral support. We're navigating this together, and so that has made us stronger. I think the other piece that I would be remiss of if I didn't bring up is the point that in the midst of this pandemic and us thinking about our organizations, we also have to think about the constituents that we serve. And oftentimes when we're in crisis, it's real easy to settle in on, well, we just have to preserve Urban Alliance, or we just have to make sure prevention works, or any of the other nonprofits in our collaborative are still around. But this collaborative has helped us focus on not just that, but also the populations that we are serving, and allowing us the space and resources to pivot to provide virtual programming and supports for the populations that we're tasked with caring for.
Okay, Danielle, did you have anything you wanted to add?
The only thing I want to add is that I think it's important to note that the nonprofit sector, although we've functioned, like we've been saying, in a scarcity model, we are the third largest workforce in America. And I think because we do function in the scarcity model and the way we've been funded, and we depend on fundraisers and donors, it's going to have a huge impact in America, and in particular Michigan and Kalamazoo, if we drill down, if these nonprofits don't exist on the back end, not only from an employment and an economic perspective, but also from a social perspective or in a health perspective, in terms of, you know, people's health and well-being and housing and poverty. And I think, you know, just kind of a call out to partners and donors that giving during a crisis is extremely important to stabilize a community. But we need to look forward 2 to 3 years and make sure that, you know, our organizations in our county are here to help individuals on the backside of this, as you said, whatever that looks like. If we're not able to sustain ourselves during that, then the more the ripple effect will be for the community.
Okay. And Sarah, anything you wanted to add on?
I think that the work of Hub One is really leading the way in thinking about the nonprofit sector and how we come together to overcome the challenges at hand, but also to strengthen the sector for the long term and make sure that our community is as strong and as whole as it possibly can be, and that everyone has the opportunity to thrive in our community.